only wise God, to whom all glory, all honor, all majesty and praise is due. Father, we give thanks for the life that you have given. May our lives be poured out as a living sacrifice before your presence, worthy and acceptable before you, our God, we pray, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is good all the time. I'd like to welcome Brother Dakpo. Good morning. We haven't seen you in quite a while. Good to see you. And all my children from far and wide, welcome back home. That was California, Maryland, where else? Texas, where else? We thank God for you. Just know that we've been praying for you. We are praying for you, and we will be praying for you. May the Lord make your hands diligent to give all glory unto him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, each one of you that we dedicated, you know, I always remember that psalm that I read, that as the arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, now we are at the stage where we have shot you into the world, that you may be established to bring the glory of God wherever you are, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Brother Liu, Sister Anna, happy Thanksgiving. You're welcome. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the story of righteous Lot. And, you know, when we first of all looked at Genesis 19 and looked at the life of Lot, it was very difficult for anybody to say this man is a righteous man. And then we went to the book of 2 Peter and were surprised. Why did Peter call him a righteous man? And after the service, there are some questions that, can a Christian live like Lot and still, you know? And my question to those questions were, how many of you, if you want to live like Lot, please put up your hand. Why not? Though he was called righteous, but why don't we want to live like him? Because he was a righteous man. If the way he lived, you know, will eventually bring righteousness, why don't we want to live like him? Any takers? Yes.
I think the Lord looked at his heart, his attitude towards the sin around him. But if it was his life, there are many things he did that were not righteous. Many. So that's my reason.
So can we Christians live like Lot? Why not? He wasn't righteous. But the Bible called him righteous. That's the thing. His heart was righteous. Okay. His attitude towards the evil around him. Yes, sir. Please, can we get Brother Shedman a mic?
See your work,
Adi,
in the corner.
Overflow.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
And it's not a when statement, it's an if statement, right?
The Bible says if God were to make the mark of sin,
yes,
we shall stand.
We shall stand, yes.
I was telling Sister Shadi just now that whether we like it or not, we're all lots. Because we were born in unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Christ came and redeemed us. It is by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we stand. And it's by the grace of God alone. And if we look at the things that we see in Lot to judge him as having all the wrong attitudes, we need just need to look at ourselves in the mirror. We'll see a reflection of Lot in us. And so it's just by grace and Christ alone that we are declared righteous.
Thank you. See, this is why I like a forum like this. You know, we're not ready made for TV, so we can trash these things out. Because this is what the Christian walk is about. It's not about theory. It's about us opening the Bible and looking at it together to find, okay, what exactly is being talked about? My brother there said that it's not all of us in one way or the other. There's sin in our lives that will say that we are like Lot. But yet the Bible calls him a righteous man. Now, there's one thing I do not want us to miss in all this. The glory of God in the life of a Christian is not only when we get to heaven. The glory of God in our life of as a Christian is so that we on earth, the Bible says that we are to be the light of what? The light of heaven? No. The light of where? The world. The salt of where? The earth. So as Christians, there's work for us to do to glorify. Let men see your good works that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's not when we get to heaven that our glorifying Christ, glorifying God begins. There's something God wants to do through us that the world might see that indeed the God we worship, the God we serve is the true God. And if our lives do not reflect that glory, we miss something. We might be righteous, yes, but it's not only our righteousness in the closet that matters. There is a righteousness that the world has to behold to be able to see that the God you serve is true, that his glory might be seen in all of the earth. And that is a reflection of our lives and our character to the world. The world will not read any Bible, but they will read us as Christians. The world will not see light, but the light that we bring as Christians to a dark world. So the life of Lot, we say we don't want to emulate the life of Lot because, yes, the Bible called him righteous. And we will come to why the Bible called him righteous, which is one of the mysteries I see in the Bible. I can't explain it to you, but we'll look at it together. The life of Lot, first of all, he lived in choosing by his sight. He saw the land that was lush. He picked that one. He was at the edge of Sodom when he began. By the time he finished, he was not only within Sodom, he was at the gate of Sodom. His children had imbibed the practices of Sodom. Because by the time the angels came and led him and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah, before the land was destroyed, I was watching a documentary a few days ago. And do you know that there's a place in that plain that where, and more than anywhere else in the world, where you see balls of sulfur? It's like a barren land, which they believe historically where Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were. In that part of the world, they see balls of sulfur. That you can, and when sulfur burns, my brothers and sisters, it is hot. It is hot. When the angel led them out, his wife looked back. So people say maybe Lot did not tell his wife. That was why his wife looked back. You know, I don't know. But what I'm trying to say, when the angels led them out, where eventually the Lord live? Because you know that before Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, why did he have to go to Sodom and Gomorrah in the first place? Can anybody remind us of the reason why? Anybody remind us of the reason why? We read it 2 weeks ago.
Because there was agitation between his herd and that of Abraham.
He had so much wealth. Abraham's had so much wealth that their servants began to fight because of resources. So he said, you go this way, I will go that way. Lot, he looked at the plain that was lush, he went that way. Eventually, he headed towards Sodom. Abraham went the other way. Lot was a very rich man in terms of his herd, his cattle, and everything. By the time he left Sodom, what did he live with? Nothing. Is that the life God has chosen for you as a Christian? Yes, he was righteous. He left with nothing. The glory of God manifest in the life of a Christian is so that we live from glory to glory, not from glory to nothing. We go from grass to grace, not from grace to grass. That is the kind of people God, that is what God wants to do in our lives. If we would walk by his dictates, not by the dictates of our own hearts. And so we see Lot walking, first of all, by his sight, eventually by the pattern. Yes, the Bible in 2 Peter, we know that his spirit was vexed, like Sister Kemi said his face was vexed because of all that we saw around him. But sometimes, when we get ourselves into a place where God has not called us, all we can do is to say, God, be merciful. Now, this is the part that we hear it, but we have to take it as God said it, because sometimes it's difficult for us to understand the mercy of God. 1 Corinthians, sorry, let's read Romans chapter 9 first. Romans chapter 9. And I'd like Sister Kemi to please read from verse 6.
But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated.
Can you pause there for a second? Please, why did God choose Jacob over Esau? Sister Kike? We weren't told. Was it because of anything they did? Some people have said that, well, God foresaw into the future that Esau will be a man after the flesh and will do certain things. That is why God chose Jacob before Esau when they were in the womb. But is this what this narrative is talking about? No, it is not. Because it says that so that the election of God might continue or might stand. So that the election of God. So it is God, before they were born, God is saying, this one, I have elected you to be in something. You have elected you to be in something. Let me tell you another thing. Why did God make you a woman and me a man? That's how God chose it to be. That's how God chose it to be. And those are the mysteries of God that we cannot understand. Please, go on from 14.
What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.
You can stop there. See, this is one of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible for many Christians. And I'll tell you why. God says here, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I've had many Christians say that I will do something that God doesn't like because I know he will have mercy on me. People presume on God's mercy to say, I know he will have mercy on me. When God is saying, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. There was a time God told the children of Israel, this Ark of Covenant, you have to carry it on poles on your shoulders, on the shoulders of the priests. There was a time they did not do that. The Ark of the Covenant was in a cart pulled by a mule. And the ark became unsteady. I wanted to fall. And one of the children of the priest wanted to steady the ark so that the ark doesn't fall. What happened to that son of the priest? Immediately he was struck dead. Why didn't God have mercy on him? It's because God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You cannot say to God, you have to have mercy on me. That is why we never presume on the mercy of God. We never go into a thing doing it saying that I know God will have mercy on me. No. You don't know God if you do that. If you think because some people do it and they get away with it, that you will do it and get away. It might happen, but please don't throw those dice. Oh. Do not throw those dice before God. Because God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. He will have compassion on whom he will have compassion. And this is the thing about Lot that I do not understand. After everything that Lot did, I do not think that is a kind of man anybody will have mercy on. But God said that he was a righteous man and God had mercy on him. He came out zero at the end. But God still had mercy on him. I do not want my lot to be that. My lot. You know, I have done all and now at the end, I will have lost everything. No, that is not the kind of life I want to live. And I don't think that is the kind of life any of us as Christians wants to live. That after being such a wealthy person, we will now be the people who are living in caves. Will be people who their children are getting drunk. Your firstborn had sex with you, didn't know. Your secondborn did the same, you didn't know. Your progeny are now enemies to the children of promise. That is not the lot of anyone. And that should not be the story of any of us as Christians. Now, the mercy of God, when God has mercy, he has mercy. And it floors me because the people that God has mercy on, you see, me, being a human, when I look at such people, I'm like, how can God have mercy upon such a person? But like Brother Shego said, you see, when I say, how can God have mercy on such a person? When I look at the mirror, I do not know what kind of mercy God has on me is why I'm saying that. Because there's a proverb, a story that the Lord Jesus Christ told about this son that was a prodigal son that took the inheritance of his father and went about, you know, spending it lavishly, spending his life as he wanted. And at the end, he came back to his senses that... You know, after beginning to eat with pigs, when he lost everything, you know, there's something to lose everything. But when you go below losing everything, you know, when you begin to eat with pigs, that is another level. You've lost everything. Hunger is you've lost everything. But to eat with pigs is minus lost everything. He came to his senses that How can I continue to live like this? At least I can live like the servant of in my father's house. If it, yes, I've taken my inheritance. I've done wrong. But I can go back and live as a servant in his house. If he will accept me, let me go and try. And this child who had lavished his own life went to the father, went back home. And you know what happened? The father who he thought would not accept him was the father who was looking out. When is my son coming home? When is my son coming home? This father ran to embrace his son. The father threw a party for him. But you know where I saw myself in the picture when I'm asking, how can a man have mercy on such? I saw my picture in the elder brother. In the elder brother. Who had always been at home, who did no wrong, but who was mad at his father that, this my brother that has lavished, how can you have mercy on such a brother? That is where the mercy of God, it baffles me. When God says that he will remember your sin no more, he does really remember your sin no more. It is man that will never forget your sin. But God never brings it up any longer. Many of us, sometimes when we do something wrong, we find it hard to forgive ourselves when God has forgiven us. That is the kind of God we serve. That's why I said, you see, this is the mercy of God. It baffles me. Because to the least likely recipient of his mercy, does he show mercy? To the least likely recipient of his compassion, does he show his compassion? That is why our God is a mystery. His ways are past, far past understanding. You can't understand his ways. We can only ask him on our knees, Father, be merciful unto me. Be merciful unto me. Because you see, though we do not do the gross sins, like the son who asked for his own inheritance and did it everyhow. Though we do not deal with gross sins like Lot, but we know there's some things in our hearts that God sees. That if we were to be exposed to the world, we wouldn't want anybody to see. It is God that shows mercy. It is not unto him that runs. It's not unto him that wills. But it's of the Lord that shows mercy. I told the story of what we call the prodigal son. That is what the people, that is what everybody titles it. That the son was prodigal in that he lavished his own inheritance. But it was the father that was prodigal, because the word prodigal means to lavish. It was the father that was prodigal in that he lavished his mercy on an undeserving son. He lavished his mercy. What you would never understand. How can you have mercy on a son that has come to ask for his own inheritance before you are dead? People get their inheritance after the parents are dead. In short, the son is, you are better off to me dead than alive. So let me collect what my own now. And yet, that son comes back and you see, you will show mercy. Some of us might have difficult children. Some of us might have difficult brothers and sisters. I know of families where inheritance has become the war. In the bottom of the family, how do they say? Ogundile, how do you translate? please help me. Family feud, or you know, some people have done things to us that we will say, I will never forget. I can never forgive. But what can you do to God that God will say, I will never forgive you? This is the God we serve. He's a God of mercy and compassion. David knew that mercy and compassion because David saw Lot in the mirror too. But God had mercy upon him. God had compassion upon him. That is why I like us reading stories in the Bible. Because if you don't see yourself in Daniel, you might see yourself in David. If you don't see yourself in David, you might see yourself in Joseph. You might see yourself in Abraham. But you will see yourself that there is one thing or the other that God has shown you mercy on, and God is asking you that you show the same upon others. When Jesus Christ was alive, the disciples went to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. What prayer did the Lord teach them? Wrong, okay? Yes. What prayer did the Lord teach his disciples? The Lord's Prayer. Thank you. Never forget it in California. The Lord's Prayer. You know, within that Lord's Prayer, there's only one prayer there that is with condition. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. What condition is give us this their daily bread? What's the condition? There's no condition. God, please feed me. No condition. Deliver me from evil. No condition. But Lord, please forgive my sins. God will not forgive you if you don't forgive the sins of other people. So please, my brothers and sisters, search your hearts. God doesn't take that prayer jokingly. If you hold anybody in unforgiveness, no matter what they have done to you, no matter what they have done to you, in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1, what did we read? And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you had what? You had your manner of life. You walked in trespasses and sins. After the what? We're learning it together, so that's why I'm looking at her. After the course of this world, after the power, prince of the power of the air, the spirits that now walked in the children of disobedience, all of us, there was a time we walked in trespasses and sins. Every one of us. There was a time we walked in trespasses and sins according to the course of this world. According to how everybody else did. We too, we walked like that. But God, he quickened us. He made us alive. He made us to know him. He called us unto himself by his mercy. So there's no one who can say that, oh, I did not, I've been righteous since the day I was born. There's nothing God needs to forgive me of. Every one of us, God has forgiven us of something. And God says, if you do not forgive those who sin against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sin. And then that question comes. If Mama Lee does something wrong to me, how many times should I forgive her? Mama Lee, how many times should I forgive you? She's an angel. She never does anything wrong. As many times. Okay. Will you do the same thing to other people? To those co-workers who are, to those managers? Eh? You are in confessional now. You do it. Okay. As many times as a sinner against you, let me tell you a secret, brothers and sisters. It is not difficult. It is not hard. It's not easy. It is not easy. But it's possible if we allow God to do it in our hearts. There have been times I have had to struggle. You know, when they said that, who was it that struggled with the angel? Jacob. When he struggled with the angel, you know, that agony, how can I forgive this person? Don't you know what this person did to me? You might have to wrestle until you come to the place and say, Lord, it is me, I surrender. Help me to forgive this person. And you know the best way to know if you're forgiving somebody? Pray for the person. If the prayer can come from your heart, you will know that you're forgiving the person. But if you say, Lord, okay, bless them. Amen. You must still be struggling with it. Well, you don't, because we are human, we don't immediately forget. But when God does something, just as God, what God wants is what he has done for you to be able to do the same for others. That's the kind of, he doesn't remember your sin. But because you are still in the flesh, you can walk towards it that you will not act upon it even if you remember. We cannot forget like God. But we can come to the place where we've given the pain to God. We've given the hurt to God. And we can now act towards the person based on what God has done in our own hearts. I know it is not easy. Pratunde.
The way I view forgiveness, I'm struggling with it a lot. But what has helped me is not looking at this as a recommendation from God, but it's actually a command. It's not a recommendation, forgiveness. It's a command.
It's a command.
And if you fear God and you want to obey him, you will obey his commandment to forgive. Mm. To me, that makes it easier because I think I would fear the wrath of God for not forgiving someone than taking my time with it. That helps me. Mm. It makes it less difficult, let me put it that way. So if we view it that way, that might be helpful. No, it's so, there was I read some of this Bible commentaries from, I think it's Matthew Henry. Mm-hmm. And when he defined forgiveness, he said, it's not, you don't just say you forgive, you have to actively seek the good of the person to forgive them. And to do that to some certain people at work and my former friends who are now my current friends, it took a lot. Mm. And I would call people to say, I really want to knock him out, but what should I do? Mm. And I'll talk it through because I want to obey God. I'm not going to stand on it. It took me 6 months, not even 11 years before we actually started talking. That's so true. It's not easy. I would not lie. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes, my brother.
Some time ago, I had a misunderstanding with my uncle, mm-hmm. a professor, and I felt really oppressed. And he felt really insulted by what I did to him. I told God, I forgive him, have mercy on me, and have mercy on him. Mm. I was in a dream. I saw myself beating him seriously. So I woke up. I said, but God, I've forgiven him. Why am I beating him? So I told God, I'm forgiving.
Okay.
Another day, I saw him in a dream. He told me, I'm handicapped. Please take my wife, use my car, take my wife out for something. I said, okay, I will. The next thing I heard him telling somebody, must I give Kenneth money before he can help me?
Mm.
And I was like, what is all this? I'm forgiving him. Why am I dreaming about him? So I told my mom, told one other pastor, we prayed about it, and I'm forgiving him. But I told myself, I don't want to be close to him anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with him because he's a man of God, so-called man of God. I don't want to be close to a man of God that will place curse on me.
Well, let me give you some good news. See, the person you don't want to be close to, God is still going to bring him in your life again. That is what I've seen. Because you have to walk through it to show. You know, when you pray for patience, God doesn't draw patience in your mind. He will bring the people who will test your patience. You'll walk through patience till you have patience. Thank you. You know, there was a story I heard on the radio a few years back. There was this man and this woman who are married to one another. And the man, I might be mistaken in some of the details because it's been a few years ago. The man, I think he went abroad on a deployment or something like that. And he had been writing to his family, wife and children for a few years until the letters stopped coming. Later on, the wife found that the man had gotten married to somebody else and had children with the other person in the country he was in. A few years down the line, he got another letter that this man was dying. Maybe he had a terminal disease. I don't know what it was. Eventually, the man died. And I think he wrote a letter before dying. Either him or the new wife wrote a letter to the woman who was in America that the children they had given birth to needed help. And that woman invited those children to come to America, took care of them, fended for them, sent them to school, became their mother. That is a picture of forgiveness because she did what Christ did for us. Each of us were not the children of God, we were adopted into his family to becoming his. We've been adopted into the family of God. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult things, but remember, it is the only prayer that is with a condition. The mercy of God as he has been poured out onto the undeserving. We, as the children of God, having the Spirit of God within us, this is what God wants to reflect in us, that we'll be able to give good for evil. Anybody can give good for good. Anybody can give evil for evil. But somebody giving you evil and you giving good back, somebody cursing you and you blessing them in return, that is what differentiates you as a Christian. That is what really differentiates each of us as a Christian. It is not easy, my brothers and sisters. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is possible. It is possible. There are certain things that with prayer, God will get us there. God will get us there. Your prayer, initial prayer by the Lord, I'm not willing, but please, in your mercy, make me willing. Make me willing. The mercy and compassion of God, these are the mysterious things about God, that his ways are far above our ways. His ways are far, we can never understand. That is the God we serve. Amen. So please, do not live according to the pattern of Lotto and forgive others, because therein, the Lord will forgive you and your own prosperity will abound. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray. Father, first we thank you, Lord, that you are not a God we can put in our pockets. You are not a God who does according to what we say. You are a mighty and awesome God whose ways are past understanding. You are a mighty and awesome God whose love is beyond what we can compare to any. Lord, you said that we should forgive 70 times 7 times. You forgive us more than 70 times 7. Because if we go through our day, what we say, what we think, what we do, and we just say, Lord, forgive, and you easily forgive us. Like a child will forgive another child and they'll be playing again. That is the way you forgive. Father, in your mercy, I pray, make us such type of people. And because you did say it, that we be like children. In our hearts, we be like children. To be able to believe you like children. To be able to forgive like children. Many ways, Lord, our hearts have been jaded by the things of this world. But we pray that you'll make it tender once again. Tender to believe you. Tender to fall in your arms when we have done wrong. To be quick to ask for forgiveness that our fellowship will not be broken. To be quick to know the heart of mercy and compassion. Father, please make our hearts tender towards you, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, give us hearts that are tender towards others, that when we are hurt, to find healing with you, that we'll be able to be restored to the people that have hurt us. Father, we know that many times this is not easy, but you can make it possible. So we look to you, our God and our rock, that in our lives may your glory be made manifest. Till the day, Father, we breathe our last upon this earth, may we not go from glory to grass, but may we go from glory to glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.